This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray. I am here at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. And as always, joined on the Thursday podcast to break down all of the games with Matt Eumanns. Follow him on social media at MattEumanns247. Long overdue, Matt, for you. I was still 500, so that was not an ideal week. But a big week for you, sir. Well done. And hopefully we can keep it rolling. You know, you quoted Mike Singletary last week. Maybe we just need to continue to quote the former San Francisco 49er coach.
We want winners. Yeah, I'm going to do that every week now, as long as we keep winning. And hopefully it's a sign of things to come, Tim. It was a very good Saturday, and really the first time in September I had a really good Saturday, so hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Hopefully that is the case. We've got a lot of dogs out there. We've got eight top 15 teams on the road. How many of those teams will be on our card? We'll break down all of these games. We'll have some letdown spots, a couple look-ahead spots, and also for those of you listening on the podcast, we will break down the Friday games as well. But let's get into it, Matt, as we always do with the biggest games of the week. We call it the main course.
The main course.
Yes, indeed. Let's rock and roll. The only top 25 matchup, Matt, of the weekend. Number 9, Missouri, visiting Texas A&M. Stormy Bonantoni, our colleague, will be on the sidelines there. Joe Tessitore will be on the call on ABC. Connor Wegman's status still TBD. I think it will likely be Marcel Reed. An interesting little note about this game. His sister is on the recruiting staff for Missouri, and she has not been allowed to go to practice all week. Eli Drinkwitz said, no, you're not allowed in. We have to keep you away. We don't want you giving secrets to your brother. Marcel Reed has been solid, not great, but he's a good runner. 42 carries already this year, 585 yards through the air, 6 touchdowns, no picks. Texas A&M, Matt, last weekend beating Arkansas, while Missouri had a bye week. Missouri so far this year, a strength of schedule of 120. They have not been tested, and this is also their first road game of the year. Right now, market sits. Texas A&M will call it a consensus. 2, total of 48.5 for this game at Kyle Field in College Station.
Well, Missouri has been tested, but not by elite team. And you're right about the strength schedule. As far as Texas A&M, I think the Aggies are okay with Marcel Reed at quarterback. As you mentioned, he's not a real accurate passer. And in fact, Marcel Reed reminds me a little bit of the UNLV quarterback who left the team last week, Matthew Sluka. He's about a 54% passer. I think he's more effective as a runner. He's got 230 yards, 5.5 per carry so far. But it's not like the Aggies were getting awesome quarterback play from Connor Wegman. So I think Aggies off a big win against Arkansas. That was a quality win a week ago in a okay spot here with Reed at quarterback. I would look at Missouri here if I were getting a full 3, possibly, but you're not getting 3. And like you said, the Tigers playing their first road game. They've had a pretty weak schedule to this point. I couldn't find enough to get on either side of this game. I think you've got a play on it, so we'll go with your play.
Yeah,
I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, I'm going to roll Texas A&M on the money line. Minus 130 is the cheapest money line price out there, and that's readily available. So this was one of my first plays. I like the spot, even though Missouri's certainly coming off a bye, and we'll talk about that. There's a lot of rest advantages this week all throughout college football. But for me, I think Texas A&M, when you think back to week one, playing Notre Dame, playing Arkansas last week, I do think this team has been tested a little bit more than Missouri, and Missouri's got to prove it to me. I know they're on an 8-game winning streak dating back to last year. A lot of hype coming into this year. Luther Burden, one of the best wide receivers in the entire country, but I trust Mike Elko, and I'm going to roll with Texas A&M here as a short home favorite, so I will lay the minus 130 on the money line. Matt, you might not know it because of the rosters and how they look, and people aren't really talking about it, but we do indeed have a national championship rematch on Saturday night. Michigan at Washington. Of course, Michigan beating Washington. Michael Penix, Kalen DeBoer, Rome Dunze, etc. there in the national championship last January. Jim Harbaugh has moved on, obviously, to the NFL. Tons of changeover on both of these rosters. Right now, Washington is a short home favorite against a top 10 team in Michigan. Michigan last week getting the win, albeit a bit fortunate, as they did not recover a onsides kick, but there was an offsides call. Washington, I don't know how, Matt, they lost that game to Rutgers. I looked up Bill Conley and what he had as his postgame win expectancy. Washington, who lost 21-18, Bill Conley's numbers spit out 96.7% win expectancy last week at Rutgers. They outgained the Scarlet Knights 521-299. They missed three field goals in that game. Washington laying 2.5 here against Michigan. This game in Seattle, and we will see what this Michigan team has in store, Matt. This is also similar to Missouri, their first road game of the year.
Well, if you settle for too many field goals, that's how you lose a game. When you outgain the opponent by 222 yards, which was the case with Washington at Rutgers. I hate it when you repeatedly settle for field goal attempts. Yeah, Washington deserves a better fate, but look, if you're going to beat Michigan here at home, you can't continue to send out the kicker if you're Jed Fish. Wolverines are ranked 10th. I still think that's a fraudulent ranking that's based more on the reputation of last season's national championship team. Michigan lost 13 players to the NFL draft. That was most of any program. I think the Huskies, unranked home favorites here for good reasons. I've had this game circled for a few weeks because I do feel like Michigan is somewhat of a fraud here. The quarterback switch to Alex Orji has not worked. That was 2 weeks ago. We went to Orji. He passed for 32 yards in that victory over USC and 86 yards in the victory over Minnesota last week. Michigan is barely surviving with its running attack and defense, and that formula seems unsustainable without the threat of the pass. I think the biggest edge here is to the Huskies. You got a veteran quarterback, Will Rogers, completed 75% of his passes, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. Rogers passing for 270 yards per game. Compare that to what Alex Orji's doing. You got Jonah Coleman at running back. He's topped 100 yards in three of the five games so far. I think Michigan, which has played its first five games in Ann Arbor, is going to fail this first road test. Huskies have a far superior quarterback. Home field advantage is pretty strong in Seattle. Washington -2.5 is my play here.
Over the last 25 seasons, there have been 18 top 10 teams who are an underdog against an unranked team. This late in the season, only 7 of the 18 won the game outright. However, 13 did cover. That courtesy of our good friend the Bear, Chris Felica, who puts out his Bear Bites each and every week. I'm with you. I like Washington here in this spot. Alex Orji has stepped in as their quarterback. The offense has looked a little bit better. No, not as many turnovers now that Davis Warren has been benched, but 7-12 for 32 yards through the air, 10-18 for 86 yards through the air against Minnesota. Michigan was outgained last week, 296-241. So I'm going to ride with you. I'm going to go money line instead of laying the points here. To each their own. I'll lay the -30 on Washington. So back-to-back money line bets for me, Texas A&M and Washington. Let's wrap up this segment, Matt. College game day for the first time ever. We'll be headed out to Berkeley, California, as the Cal Golden Bears, and I'm all about that action, boss. Marshawn Lynch, he's going to be the celebrity guest picker there on the set this week. Cal catching 10.5 against the U. Cal coming off a bye. Miami last week went down to the wire. Very fortunate to escape with a victory over Virginia Tech. I know this is a spot that you have had circled. Look ahead line when Matt Grill joined VSiN Primetime a week and a half ago was Cal catching 14. So we've seen a little bit of movement in the market, now down to 10.5, Matt.
Yeah, Circa went to 11.5 briefly on Wednesday afternoon, and it's back to 10.5. I have not bet this yet, but I will take the Cal Bears in Berkeley. This is a tricky test for Miami in this road game. Hurricanes barely escaped that upset bid by Virginia Tech a week ago. Now they hit the road for this night game where things could get a little crazy here. Golden Bears were in a couple of shootouts last year in the Pac-12. I know you remember these games, Tim. Cal lost to USC and Caleb Williams in a 50-49 shootout. I believe that was in October last year. And then about 2 weeks later, beat Cam Ward in Washington State 42-39. Now, I know those high scores don't indicate it, but Justin Wilcox, the Cal coach, is regarded by many, including me, as a defensive wizard. He's had a bye week to prepare for this game. I think he's going to have to pull out a few tricks to slow down Ward, who had obviously transferred to Miami in the offseason, has 18 touchdown passes, and is among the Heisman favorites at this point. So you look at Cal. Does this team have what it takes to pull off the upset? I think so. Cal's 3-1 with a win at Oregon. Outgame Florida State 410-284 on the road, and the only loss. Now, Fernando Mendoza's not a quarterback who's going to light it up, but you got a couple of running backs, Jaden Ott, Javian Thomas, who can move the sticks and keep the Hurricanes' defense on its heels. It might be a case that Miami just has too much offensive firepower. I'm hoping here the Wilcox's coaching edge is what's going to be the difference. I will take Cal. I have not bet this yet, Tim. I'm going to wait for see if I get a little bit better number than 10.5. But I'll be on the Cal side.
Yeah, Cal definitely interesting. I'll probably join you as well. Won't be an official play, but definitely a spot late night. You know, things are going to get a little weird there. Couple notes before we hit a break. Courtesy of the Bear, Wilcox 3-0 ATS against Mario Cristobal. Of course, he was once upon a time the head coach of Oregon. And then Stuckey over the Action Network noted that Justin Wilcox as a double-digit dog, 15-7 ATS. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We're going to take a quick break, get our spicy food ready. We got some spicy matchups we want to hit. Many more best bets to come. Stick around on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Another week inside those top 200 rankings. Much appreciated to all of you, and hopefully we could do our part. Matt did his last week with a big week. I was 500, so a couple good wins, couple tough losses, and for the first time ever, one of my bets actually was on bad beats, and it helped me out as Washington State called a late timeout to get the over in that Washington State-Boise State game. We might mention some Boise State a little bit later on in the podcast as Ashton Jeanty just continues to be an absolute force running the football, leading the country in rushing yards. That's Matt Eumanns over there. I'm Tim Murray. Let's keep it rolling with some best bets. Already in the hopper, A&M for me, Washington for Matt and myself, and then Cal at some point. Matt will add it to the card and will be official play here. So those are the main cores, Matt, but we like some spicy food on this show, so let's get to some of those matchups we love oh so much.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
All right, another classic conference game, Matt. We talked about Washington and Michigan. How about USC headed to the Twin Cities to take on conference rival Minnesota? And now are we going to start to see maybe a little bit of fatigue set in here for USC? 2 weeks ago, they traveled to Ann Arbor. They lose 27-24. They come back home. They come from double digits down to win and cover, sorry, Matt, against Wisconsin. And now they're back to the Twin Cities this week to take on Minnesota. Oh, by the way, next week at the Coliseum, they welcome in a top 10 foe in Penn State. You could call it a sandwich spot, you could call it a look ahead spot, but I think this is a tricky spot for Minnesota, for USC, excuse me, against the Gophers of Minnesota.
You're right, Tim, and I had a Benihana frozen dinner for breakfast today, and I put hot sauce all over it. Drenching the hot sauce is outstanding. Great way to start your day. And this is a spicy matchup in the Big Ten. How about this? USC laying points in Minnesota. I took 8.5 with the Gophers here, and the market has dipped to 8 pretty much at most spots. And USC handed me my only loss last week, and I'm still a little bitter about it. because Wisconsin was up 21-10, catching 16 points. I was catching 16 in that game, up 21-10 5 minutes into the third quarter, and get out and scored 28-0 in the second half with a pick six with 5 minutes to go. Unbelievable how you can lose bets sometimes. It makes you sick. Anyway, let's move on. I got to get past that. Minnesota had a late rally last week, came up short in that loss at Michigan. You're talking about tired teams. I also think the Michigan defense has looked a little tired. Even though the Wolverines played all five games at home, I was starting to see some fatigue on that Michigan defense in the second half last week. Gophers showed a lot of fight in that game, and typically they do for P.J. Fleck, and I think they will here as home dogs. Biggest difference between these teams is pretty obvious. USC has a surplus of playmakers. Miller Moss at quarterback, Woody Marks at running back. How about Jacoby Lane and Zachariah Branch at wide receiver? I mean, they got some exciting players on the USC side. Still, it's a big number you're asked to cover on the road here. And you mentioned it. It's also a bit of a look-ahead spot to the Penn State game next week, which is going to be a monster Saturday schedule. I'm not thinking as much about the look-ahead here. I just think the Gophers are going to be gritty home dogs. The defense is no pushover. If you look at the numbers, very respectable defensive numbers for Minnesota. And I think they've got enough offense. Max Brosmer is improving a little bit at quarterback. Darius Taylor is a stud running back. Give me the Gophers and the points here.
Yeah, a lot of what you just said I'm going to echo, and I'm in on Minnesota. Took that 8.5. It's 8 now. Wish it was a little colder there. It's going to be actually a pretty lovely day there in the Twin Cities. Sadly for us, I would love a little 35 and some rain coming in sideways, but we will take what we can get there. So I'm on Minnesota. I think it's a tricky spot, no doubt, for USC, and I love what I saw in that fourth quarter from Minnesota, the fight that we saw, because I had some concerns maybe this Minnesota team could be, I don't know, running a little tired of P.J. Fleck shtick, but I liked what I saw from Minnesota on the road last weekend. I think you see a good fight from them once again. And let's row that damn boat, Matt. Give me the points with Minnesota. All right, we'll go.
Next game.
Let's go to the next game. I'll see it if Matt would get excited there. He did not take the bait. All right.
I'll get excited if they row the boat and cover. I'm not getting too excited right now.
I think Matt's a big canoer. I can see him, you know, getting in a canoe and just wanting to paddle for days.
I can tell you the last time I went on a canoe type of trip, a kayak trip up on the Snake River in Idaho, and I was about ready to park the kayak on a grassy knoll, and right when I was getting ready to jump out of the kayak, there was a rattlesnake staring right at me from about 4 feet away. I can't tell you how quickly I turned that kayak around, spun back out into the water. But that was the last kayak trip I have taken, and I'm probably not going to take another. That's exhausting, man.
Oh,
trying to steer that thing down the river for a few miles.
Yeah,
that was not fun.
Let's let the Gophers and Darius Taylor and Max Brosmer row the boat for us and hopefully get us to cover town. All right, Matt, this was a game I absolutely would be on South Carolina if Ole Miss didn't lose last week, but that unfortunately did unfold. I know a result that you did not like, is you've got some Ole Miss futures in your pocket. So this would have been a great spot coming off a win over Kentucky on the road, South Carolina, LSU waiting in the wings there. I am going to pass on this one. Thought about the Gamecocks in this spot, but Ole Miss, I would imagine, is pretty ticked off after that loss to Kentucky last weekend. So a pass for me on Ole Miss, but what do you have? Ole Miss at South Carolina, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN.
Yeah, it's a 9-point number. And like you said, I've been tempted to play South Carolina a little bit here, but there's a couple injuries on the Gamecocks side. I'm not sure how those are going to play out this week. And it's not really a good spot. You know, it's, again, when Notre Dame lost at home to Northern Illinois, I said, you really don't want to bet against the Irish the next week. But I did. I broke one of my rules, and I did. And what happened? The Irish rolled on the road. Mississippi loses at home. I really don't want to bet against Ole Miss in this spot, so I'm not going to break one of my handicapping rules and do that. I will say the fallout from the Ole Miss loss to Kentucky could be costly. I still think this is an Ole Miss team that can win 10 games. But 10, there's a lot I didn't like last week. Lane Kiffin set up a cupcake schedule. His offense was not ready for that Kentucky defense last week. And also, Jackson Dart's confidence has got to be shaken a little bit. You know, it was too easy for the Rebels early in the season, and it was too tough for them last week. I think Jackson Dart, I don't like to make bold statements like this early in the season, but I consider Jackson Dart out of the Heisman race. I think he's done. There are way too many other quality quarterback candidates who can win the Heisman, and I don't think Dart's got a shot to win it now. If you got a bet on him, I think it's dead money. I still think we're barely alive here on Ole Miss to get over the win total and get to the college playoff. But, man, that was a very costly loss for the Rebels at home last week. That's one I was not counting on, obviously, as from a double-digit favorite. I just think this is a bad spot. As much as I like home dogs, it's probably a bad spot to bet against Ole Miss here.
Maybe the next quarterback we mention is still alive for the Heisman Trophy, and I would be very happy about that. Nico Iamaleava, the quarterback of Tennessee, as the Vols head on the road to Woo Pig Suey and take on Arkansas in this spot. Arkansas coming off the loss to Texas A&M. Tennessee off the bye 2 weeks ago. They put it on Oklahoma and probably could have named the score. They called off the dogs a little bit. 7:30 on ABC. Number 4 Tennessee at Arkansas. Matt, I have gotten in front of the Tennessee train a couple of times. I've been tempted here. Maybe if we get to 14, I'd look to back the Fighting Sam Pittmans, but as of right now, I'm staying off this game because it certainly feels like Tennessee is a wagon at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Tennessee's been a little bit overhyped at this point by a lot of people. If you go flashback to that Oklahoma game, I don't know that we were on the dead wrong side with the Sooners taking the points that day. The problem is Jackson Arnold was so bad.
Oh, it's awful.
Self-inflicted wounds, just the three turnovers. And if the Oklahoma had gotten any quarterback, competent quarterback play that day, I think the Sooners could have pulled that off. You know, Tennessee, I'm going to let you pronounce his name because I called him Nico Iamaleava on the show and JVT was laughing at me a couple days ago. So Nico, Tennessee quarterback Nico, you know, has not played a lot of road games in tough environments. I didn't think he played especially well against the Sooners that day. And that was a game I thought Oklahoma had a shot to win. So I know Tennessee on the road here laying a big number at Arkansas is going to be tempting for the betting public laying under 14. I'm actually tempted to play the Hogs here and take the points. But again, you're doing it with a quarterback in Talen Green who's completing 54% of his passes, 5 TDs, 5 picks. He's more of a runner. How much faith do I have in Arkansas? Not quite enough to make it a play at this point, but I can tell you I'm not playing Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. And who knows? Come Saturday evening and I'm feeling good. Maybe I throw a little bet in on Arkansas, but not going to be an official play here just yet. All right, we've got some bets in our back pocket. Let's hit some letdown spots for week number 6. Could that lead to more bets? We'll roll through those possible letdown scenarios next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Week 6 of the college football season is upon us, and we keep it rolling. I am Tim Murray at the D in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada, joined as always on Thursdays by Matt Eumanns. And Matt, let's jump into some possible letdown spots for Week 6, as last Friday night we saw a crazy finish between Miami and Virginia Tech. We've already discussed the Miami and Cal game. That is a best bet pending for you. You're looking to grab the points with Cal after they escaped with a 38-34 victory over Virginia Tech. But how about the team that they faced in Virginia Tech, Matt, as they now have to travel out to Palo Alto to take on Stanford? This will be a 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 local kick. This game will be airing on, I believe, there it is, ACC Network, of course, why wouldn't a Stanford game be on ACC Network? We do have concerns about Ashton Daniels. He's listed as questionable. Troy Taylor said there's, quote, a chance he could play, but they trust in Justin Lamson, who has taken the majority of the snaps in practice, another dual threat quarterback. Matt, I think this is a really tricky spot for Virginia Tech, who now has 3 losses, traveling out to Palo Alto. I am going to split a unit here. I'm going to take 4.5 with Stanford in the first half, which is available at a number of shops, Circa and FanDuel, and give me the 8 for the full game as well. I think this is a tricky spot for Virginia Tech to get themselves off the mat, and I'm going to take the Cardinal in this spot, even though they, of course, had a tricky loss last week against Clemson. I'm going to take Stanford, even if it's with the backup quarterback north of a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm not that concerned about the quarterback situation for Stanford. I'm pretty much okay with whoever plays QB for the Cardinal here. I will be candid about this. Of all the plays I've got this week, this is going to be my smallest bet because I just don't trust Stanford that much. But, Tim, we talked about look-ahead spots, and some teams get caught looking ahead. I think the Hokies might get caught looking behind and dwelling on the one that got away last week, that controversial 38-34 loss in Miami. Hurricanes were down.
Yeah, no doubt. Hurricanes were having a chance there to take advantage and win that game 38 to 34, and the Hail Mary controversial call. Nonetheless, Virginia Tech gets the loss now, 2-3. You think about the level of excitement was there in Blacksburg with all of the talent that was returning. Another game on the letdown spots that intrigues me is Duke at Georgia Tech. Duke, if you saw it, Manny Diaz had an impassioned speech in the locker room as Duke trailed 20-0 at halftime to UNC. UNC last week was one of my best bets at catching three, so that did come home. But unfortunately for another one of my best bets, which is Duke under 2.5 ACC wins, they got a win 21-20 and claimed the old victory bell there against North Carolina. I think this is a brutal spot for Duke, who, I'll be honest, I think it's a little bit fraudulent. I do not think this is a team that is all that impressive when you look at how they've played so far this year, whether it was a fortunate road win against Northwestern, beating UConn by 5, you know, beating Elon, beating Middle Tennessee, who's an absolute train wreck. So I would do two things here. So I have laid the points with Georgia Tech. I laid 7.5 earlier this week. I would still play it anything under double digits. But if you're not comfortable doing that, I have also bet this on a money line parlay. I have paired Georgia Tech with Louisville. Louisville will be hosting SMU at home, and I came away pretty impressed by the Louisville Cardinals, albeit in a loss against Notre Dame last weekend. So my official play will be Georgia Tech paired with Louisville on a money line parlay. It's around -112 at Circa. Look around and see what price you can get on that money line parlay. But I also would lay anything under double digits with Georgia Tech. I think they could put it on Duke. Georgia Tech coming off a bye. This will be the 6th consecutive game for the Duke Blue Devils. All right, Matt, let's go to Alabama at Virginia Tech. This is a classic letdown spot, but you have to hold on to your butt a little bit because it is Vanderbilt on the other side. Now, their quarterback, Diego Pavia, has thrived as a dog, whether it be at New Mexico State or since he's gotten to Vanderbilt. You think about week one against Virginia Tech. They win that game outright as a double-digit dog, going on the road around 3 touchdown dogs against Missouri. They force overtime. Can we trust the doors to keep this thing close? The number now sits at 23 with Alabama coming off of a 60-minute war against Georgia.
Yeah, we didn't need that last week with Alabama. It's 28-0. I got people texting me, great call, easy winner. I see people on Twitter talking about turning the game off. I mean, geez, how many jinxes can we put on the Tide? And then all of a sudden, they're down 34-33. And you know what? I do think it's a bit of a letdown spot here because that was such a monster game, so many emotions involved in it. I would only look one way here, and I'm not going to say this many times in my life, but I would only look at Vanderbilt in this game. And I think – now, I'm not going to play it now because I think there's a chance it gets sped up to 24 by Saturday. It's an afternoon game, and I think the public's going to look to play the favorite. I mean, if you're up 28-0 on Georgia, you can certainly waste Vandy if you're fully focused. Very impressed Jalen Milroe and Kalen DeBoer and everything they've done with that Alabama offense. But no matter what you think of the Tide and how high opinion your opinion is of this team, every team is vulnerable to these flat spots, Tim. And I think the Tide going on the road to Nashville, probably going to get off to a slow start. Maybe the first half you want to look at here for Vandy. Maybe split a unit, Vandy first half, Vandy game, and play it some way like that. But I would have to get 24 for the game before I'd consider playing it, and it's not there right now.
Yeah, 24.5 was out there earlier this week. So a game that I'll mention a little bit later on, I am playing the worst of the number, but I do like that spot maybe a little bit more here. But I agree. I think it's Vanderbilt or pass for me in this particular spot. Maybe we get there 4:15 Eastern on the SEC Network. I'm sure plenty of Alabama fans will be headed down to Nashville to take over that Vanderbilt stadium. But like I said, Diego Pavia has done an exceptional job, and I thought Clark Lee had an interesting note, Matt, earlier in the week. He put it out there that he said they're going to try to slow this thing down. So when you're looking at Vanderbilt, you know, this could be a spot like we saw with, I think it was Mississippi State against Texas, where they're going to want to slow it down. The quote from Clark Lee, head coach of Vanderbilt, Matt, quote, "Grinding out the clock is part of the strategy, but so is taking shots and being explosives too. So once again, you're catching a big number, you're at home, trying to grind it out, maybe trying to make this thing respectable. I kind of like Vanderbilt here, but not going to be an official play, but I could certainly see myself on that one. Late night game, Matt, how about 11 p.m. Eastern on Fox, the same spot Arizona was in last week, and they got the win. Now, that game was on ESPN a little bit earlier, but regardless, Arizona at home against Texas A&M, Texas Tech. I put this game in a letdown spots because Arizona, we had been wondering when we see some, you know, positive things from this Arizona football program, and they get a big win last week over Utah, albeit without Cam Rising. Can we trust Texas Tech here in this spot? As Texas Tech right now, as you look at the market, is catching 6.5. There's a 7 right now at South Point. Arizona, are they going to be in a little bit of a letdown spot after going on the road to Salt Lake City and getting a big-time win over the Utes?
Yeah, you're right. That was a big-time win. And we can talk about the Utes playing their backup quarterback, but they also played their backup the previous week and had no trouble rolling up a bunch of yards against Oklahoma State. So I'm not going to give Utah a full pass for that. That was just a pathetic performance by the Utes a week ago. And as much as I like Kyle Whittingham as a coach, his team turns one of those in almost every year, if not two of those. But definitely one of those duds, and we saw it last week. I don't want to give Arizona too much credit for that game, but you're off a big win, and this is definitely somewhat of a flat spot. I would take a look at Texas Tech here, if anything, because I'm not real high on Brent Brennan as a coach, and I think that, you know, you got to be a really good coach to keep your team up 2 weeks in a row like that when you're off a big win that you talked about at Utah. So I think Tech is a dangerous dog in this game.
Yeah, you can get a 7 now right now at South Point. That's the only 7 I see in the market right now on this Thursday. We're going to hit another best bet for Matt on the other side of the break as he is going out to San Diego for that one. I'll sneak one in real quickly and give you some more analysis on the other side. I mentioned a game that I might be buying a little bit low in the market. I am just fading Oklahoma State, Matt. I do not like what I've been seeing from the Pokes. These past couple of weeks, they have been unimpressive. You know, Mike Gundy is usually a guy that I like to back, but losing to Utah, I think that score was not indicative of how that game played out. No Cam Rising in that one. And then last week, a best bet from you, Kansas State, put it on the Pokes. So I'm going to take the Mountaineers off a bye. Give me the 3 with West Virginia. Another best bet from Matt. We'll do our best bet recap and run through any other interesting games on Saturday of Week 6. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Come on back. Hey, folks, before you tune in to the final segment, and I put in air quotes, final segment of this podcast, where we will have another best bet from Matt, as well as our best bet recap, stick around to the bonus section of the podcast, only for all of you podcast subscribers, as we will break down the Friday card, Michigan State at Oregon, and Syracuse at UNLV. We'll break down those Friday games, a couple of best bets as well. Stick around after that best bet recap for those previews.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
David Rowland here, breaking down the Week 6 college football card. I am Tim Murray. I'm at the D in downtown Las Vegas, joined, as always, by Matt Eumanns. We've had our best bets. All but one has been handed out. I snuck one in before the last break. I am taking the 3 with West Virginia, and I recognize taking the worst of the number. Maybe get a little bounce back and you get that hook put on, but I just think this Oklahoma State team is in serious trouble, and everything that I've heard coming out of Stillwater is not great. Ollie Gordon, boy, where has he gone this year? So I will take the points with West Virginia coming off a bye on the road. Maybe too short, but I will potentially be going against what is deemed a buy low spot and take West Virginia here, catching the 3. All right, one more best bet before we just take a quick glance around college football, do some quick hitters, and that is going to be a Matt Eumanns late night special. Not all that late, Matt. 8 o'clock Eastern on CBS Sports Network. You and I like those late night 11 o'clock Eastern games, especially when it includes the Fighting Timmy Changs of Hawaii. I have a win total over on Hawaii 4.5, so I kind of need this one, but you think it's going to be the other side. So what do you see in San Diego State, Hawaii on Saturday evening?
Yeah, if I have a true late night play, it's probably going to be on Texas Tech plus 7, but that's not a play for me yet. I am going to play San Diego State minus 2. It's pretty obvious the Aztecs are nothing special. I was down in San Diego to watch them get beat 21-0 by Oregon State, and I said, this is not a team I'm going to bet very often this season. It's not the typical San Diego State team that can really run the ball and grind down defenses, and also on the other side of the ball plays great defense. This is not that team. But the Aztecs' most effective weapon is Marquez Cooper, who I think is going to be the biggest difference maker in this game. Cooper has 474 yards on the ground so far. He had 111 last week at Central Michigan, when freshman quarterback Danny O'Neill actually played his best game of the season. And I'm not real high on O'Neill, who's a short quarterback, a true freshman. He's about 6 feet, doesn't have a strong arm necessarily. He threw for 246 in that 22-21 loss at Central Michigan that the Aztecs basically gave away. They were leading that game 21-16 late and just squandered the game. But on this matchup, I'm going to side with the team that can run the ball against a team that can't run the ball at all. Hawaii has found a good combination of offense here with Braden Schrager, quarterback, and receiver Papele Ashlock. But really, that's their only offense. Rushing attacks averaging 96 yards per game, 3.9 per carry. But a lot of those numbers are fluffed against two FCS opponents. The Warriors have home wins against Delaware State and Northern Iowa. They scored only 13 points against a bad UCLA team. It got blown out at Sam Houston. After giving the game away last week, I think this one San Diego State's got to get. I like the running attack enough with Marquez Cooper to think he can grind it out against a Hawaii team that really doesn't have many playmakers at all. So give me the cheap home favorite here, because fading the Hawaii team on the mainland is never really a bad idea. This number's down to 2, Aztecs minus 2.
All right, let's run through a couple games before we get to our best bet recap. We've got Iowa at Ohio State, 3:30 Eastern on CBS. Iowa is catching 19.5 against Ohio State. That number actually came down a little bit since I last checked, down to 18 or 18.5. And then Auburn's at Georgia. Georgia coming off the loss. Auburn coming off of their, I believe, third consecutive loss. Matt, nothing for me in these games, but I'll mention this as it looks like Auburn taking a little bit of money in the market here. I bet Georgia this week at plus 650 at DraftKings to win the national championship. You know, as crazy as it sounds, that second half, I came away pretty impressed by Georgia to get absolutely punked in the first half on the road and then to take the lead. Still want to see more from Carson Beck, but of these two games, the one little flyer I took was Georgia. I think this might be a buy low spot on them in the futures market. They do play Texas in a couple of weeks, certainly a game they could lose there, Matt. But Georgia plus 650 to win the title is the one bet that I've got in the books there. Anything for these top five teams in Ohio State and Georgia on Saturday?
Not Ohio State. I would consider Iowa, but the offense is so anemic. that you can't really trust the Hawkeyes. And if you play that, I think you have to play one of those split unit situations like you and I talked about, where you put a half unit on the first half and a half unit for the game. Because I could actually see the Hawkeyes coming out and giving the Buckeyes all they can handle in the first half. And obviously not being able to sustain that for four quarters, because when your offense goes three and out, three and out, three and out, it's hard for the defense to maintain that type of intensity. So I think that Ohio State's probably going to wear down the Hawkeyes and pull away. But I don't want any part of the Buckeyes here, because it's a look-ahead spot with the game at Oregon on deck. So it would be Iowa or pass for me there. And I've actually given Iowa some serious consideration this week, but not going to do it. And as far as you're talking about the Georgia game, maybe the Bulldogs are a little bit flat too.
Yep.
A letdown spot coming off the Alabama game, and that's why I'm not going to lay the points. I think Auburn is a mess. Hugh Freeze keeps switching quarterbacks. I don't want anything to do with Auburn, but I'm going to pass on that game.
All right, before we get to our best bet recap, a couple other games that I find a little bit interesting. Matt, you and I and Wes Reynolds all have over 5.5 wins for the Hoosiers. They can clinch it on Saturday at the makeshift football field there on Northwestern's campus, Indiana, around a 2-touchdown favorite. And then Rutgers at Nebraska. I find this to be kind of a fascinating game. Nebraska laying a full 7. I could see Kyle Manungai having some success against that Nebraska defense. No official bet here, but I do kind of intrigued, even though Indiana's been crushing it from a standpoint of scoring, a little intrigued to look at under and maybe take the points with the Purple Cats, but ultimately nothing there, and hoping to will home our win total to Indiana to go over 5.5 wins on Saturday.
Yeah, don't worry about that. The Hoosiers are going to fly over 5.5. I mean, that's not even a concern of a jinx. Just file that away. That's a winner. Indiana's going to win at least 8 games, so I'm not concerned. Curtis Rourke has been outstanding, by the way. 11 touchdown passes, 73% completions. So far, you got Justin Ellison and Tyson Lawton out of the backfield for Indiana. A lot of players and a lot of receivers who can make plays. This Indiana offense is multi-dimensional and very impressive to me. So it is a tricky spot here, laying these points on the road against the Purple Cats. I'm not that tempted to play Northwestern. This one didn't make my card. Indiana is so potent with the passing game, Tim, and the Purple Cats have trouble stopping the pass. I think it's kind of a tough matchup for Northwestern. Hoosiers probably going to be a little bit sleepy at the wheel here. They're off the big win over Maryland on the road in that tiny Lakeshore stadium. I don't want to lay the points, but I think Indiana's going to find a way to win it, probably by about 10 to 17, somewhere in that range. Maybe just throw the Hoosiers on a money line parlay if you feel like playing a bunch of favorites or trying to do something like that. But don't sweat the 5.5, Tim. That's a winner.
It's always nice to have one of those. It's not as easy as Florida State under, but we'll take Indiana over. All right, Matt, let's do what we always do to wrap up the podcast. Let's get into it. Your best bet recap, sir.
Best bets recap.
Right, I'm going to go with, obviously, the Washington Huskies over Michigan. I think there was a tout service that released a play on the Michigan Wolverines on Thursday, and the number is dropping in the market. I'm going to play Washington as a home favorite. We're going to play Minnesota as a home dog against USC. Minnesota plus 8.5 in that one. How about Stanford plus 8 against Virginia Tech? Of all the plays I've got, this is the one I like the least. It's going to be my smallest bet, Stanford plus 8, but I'm going to go ahead and play it. Also, Cal, home dog, in a classic ACC matchup on Saturday night in Berkeley. Cal plus 10.5 as of right now. I'm going to wait to see if I can get 11 on that game on Saturday. Who knows? You might get 11.5. That's why I haven't bet it yet, but I will bet Cal. And San Diego State minus 2.
All right, there you go. Those are Matt's best bets. Cal plus the points. Stanford plus the points. Minnesota plus the points. As he mentioned, Washington get a better number as that number trickled down as we were on the air. And San Diego State minus the 2. All right, let's get to my best bet recap before we bid you farewell. A couple of money line plays. We'll go Texas A&M on the money line. It looks like the cheapest money line out there, minus $1.30. So I'll take Giga Maggie there at Kyle Field. As Matt just mentioned, he and I common play, rolling with Washington. It looks like you can get minus 20 at DraftKings and Circa. So go save yourself 10 cents, and we'll take Washington. Georgia Tech, Louisville, money line parlay. Should be able to get that around minus 115 or so, maybe a little bit higher. I also like Georgia Tech, anything under 10. So however you want to attack that, ultimately for me, my best bet will be Georgia Tech to Louisville, money line parlay. West Virginia, plus the 3. Like Matt said about his Stanford play, this would be my least favorite play of the week, but I'll take the 3 with West Virginia. Minnesota, plus 8.5. Stanford, plus 4.5, first half, half unit, full game, plus 8. And then Georgia to win the title at plus 650. All right, they are our best bets for week 6. Let's build off of what we had last week and say what Matt Heumann says all that often to end this show. We want winners.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, a little bonus time here as Friday night. We will have 4 games on the slate, Matt, but the 2 games that we want to focus in on both take place at 9 o'clock Eastern, and we'll start with Michigan State at Oregon. We talked briefly about Iowa and Ohio State there in that final segment, Matt, and the possibility of a look ahead for Ohio State. I talked about this on Wednesday's VSiN primetime look ahead spots. I think they are a real thing. This is a monster showdown next weekend in Autzen, Oregon against Ohio State. So, Matt, will the Ducks be peeking ahead a little bit against these Spartans, and could you be interested in Michigan State here in this spot?
Yeah, I think this is the definition of a look-ahead spot. And the Ducks probably will be looking ahead to Ohio State. How can you not? So it's such a big game in the Big Ten and on the national scene, too. So what you also have, Tim, here's an added element of familiarity because we have Jonathan Smith, former Oregon State coach. How about Aiden Childs, former Oregon State recruited quarterback, coming in here with the Michigan State Spartans? Are rolling in. They know Oregon, and I think they'll have a pretty good plan for how to attack the Ducks here. And also, hey, Michigan State's not that bad. I know that opening game against Florida Atlantic was ugly, but then the Spartans went on the road, upset Maryland. They played Boston College on the road, down to the wire. Childs passed for 241 yards, lost that game by 4 points. Last week, trailed the Buckeyes 3-0 after the first quarter. Things got a little bit out of hand after that in a 38-7 loss. But I think Jonathan Smith's got this team trending in the right direction. And I know Aiden Childs has turned the ball over a little bit too much, and those turnovers can be costly against a team like Oregon. But I think Michigan State's in a good spot here on Friday night against a team that should be looking ahead. And this number was a 24 at a few spots this week. And I did not a big bet for me, but I did grab the Spartans in 24 on Friday night.
One bet that I did make earlier in the week, and I give a tip of the cap to Adam Burke, was Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman at 18-1. Last week, I added Carson Beck to the portfolio at 20-1. How's that looking right now as he's out to, I think, 25 or 30-1? But if you could find, I think Dylan Gabriel, I want to say Bet Rivers still has 18-1. I bet it at Boyd here in Las Vegas, which had the same odds as FanDuel. I think that's down a little bit, down to 14-1. But Dylan Gabriel, if you could find it, you know, 16 or so to 1, I would bet that to win the Heisman Trophy. Matt, the other game that I am very interested in, and you, me, Jonathan Von Tobel, Brad Powers, we all gave out UNLV last week as a best bet. And boy, I wish they were all that easy, because they went out, UNLV did, and absolutely just obliterated Fresno State. Now, Matt, when you look at this situation brewing on Friday night, you welcome in Syracuse, and you know, there are a couple nuggets I want to get to after I hear your analysis, but if I get 7, I'm going to be inclined to look at Syracuse here. I do wonder. It felt like last week we might have been playing off of the overreaction of Matthew Soluka and all the negative press that was out there, and Barry Odom and company. They were ratcheted up. They were fired up to play that game. Now everyone kind of seems to be giving them their victory lap here. You're facing a Power 4 team in Syracuse. Weird spot from a travel standpoint, short week to come out to Las Vegas, but it hasn't touched 7 yet. But if it does touch 7, I think I'm going to grab Syracuse here in this spot. What do you make of Syracuse at UNLV Friday night at Allegiant Stadium?
There was a 7 out there that popped up, but it was not out there for long, and we'll see if the 7 pops up Friday night. And I'll do the same. I'll grab Syracuse plus 7 if I can get it. Now, Kyle McCord, the Ohio State transfer, has been pretty good. Not great at quarterback so far, but 300-plus passing yards in all 4 games. Has 14 TDs and 5 picks, but Syracuse offense is capable. I think the bigger deal here, and you know, we all liked the Rebels last week, and that was actually my favorite play. It ended up being my favorite play last week. We talked about it on several decent shows, but Haj Malik Williams, the quarterback who stepped in, threw for 182 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, ran for 119 and a touchdown. Very impressive performance, and I thought he might be a better quarterback than Matthew Soluka. So, you know, I told Derek Stevens, don't. You know, he shouldn't even offer $100,000 to Soluka to stay. You know, maybe give $1,000 to Haj Malik Williams and give the rest, spread it among the team, like I think Ricky White commented last week. I really did not think that Matthew Soluka leaving the team was going to hurt him. And, in fact, last week I thought it was going to be a big help. It was an emotional boost. Barry Odom said in his press conferences last week, we had our best practice of the year, I think he said on Wednesday, and really great practices after the Soluka situation surfaced. So UNLV was riding that emotional wave a week ago, and the Rebels took full advantage of it, blew out Fresno State 59-14. That's one of the easiest winners we're ever going to have. But this week, you might have an emotional crash. And, you know, that one-week surge often doesn't carry over to the second week. I think this UNLV team is legit. I think Haj Malik Williams, the quarterback, is legit. There's a lot I like about this UNLV team, but no team is impervious to the letdown spots, Tim, and the emotional flat spots, and we might see a little bit of that with UNLV on Friday night. I think the Rebels find a way to win, but I also think they're going to have to sweat it out. I'm looking to take Syracuse plus 7 if I can get it.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. A couple of nuggets here. This is the first time since 08 that UNLV will be a favorite over a Power 4/5 opponent, courtesy of the Bear. UNLV won over Iowa State that day as a 2.5-point favorite. And also, this is the biggest favorite they have been, UNLV, against a Power 4 or 5 team since they were a 11-point favorite against Kansas back in 2003, and they got hammered in that game 46-22. Once again, does that mean anything? No, not necessarily. Just looking at history, Barry Odom and UNLV, best cover team in college football since Odom's gotten to town, 14-4 ATS. But, you know, this is a horse of a different color. Kyle McCord has got some pretty good weapons to throw to. So I'm with you in lockstep and can't wait. I won't be there on Friday night. I wish I was. Got some family stuff to do. But October 25th, Matt, I know you'll be putting the finishing touches on the Circa Friday Football Invitational, but I am going to be at Allegiant Stadium for Boise State and UNLV. That is going to be hopefully a incredible showdown there between those two programs. And Matt, I want to end with this. I know you're not a big player prop guy, even though last Thursday on VSiN Primetime, you were all over some player props with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Ashton Jeanty, his over-under on rushing yards at DraftKings, Matt, is 191. Have you ever in your life seen a number like that for a running back in power football?
No, I haven't, but the numbers he's putting up are astronomical, and I don't really want to bet against Ashton Jeanty right now. Now, by the same token, Tim, I don't think he's got a real serious shot to win the Heisman because you have too many quality quarterback candidates who's probably going to take the award. man, Ashton Gentry's putting up huge numbers, and you don't really want to bet against him, do you?
No, and I was on the other side of taking the points with Washington State last week, and like I mentioned, thank God we got the over, so it wasn't a full loss, as that was only a half-unit loss, but Ashton Gentry was a maniac in the best way possible last week. He's averaging over 10 yards per carry through the first four games of the season, so best of luck to Utah State this weekend. All right, real quickly, we'll run through it. Matt Eumanns, he's on Cal, plus 10.5, Stanford, plus 8, Minnesota +8.5, Washington, I believe -1 is out there, San Diego State -2. For me, once again, Texas A&M on the money line, Washington money line, West Virginia +3, the Gophers +8.5, Georgia Tech and Louisville money line parlay. If you just want to lay under a 10, that's fine too with Georgia Tech. And then Stanford, I'm going to split the unit, +4.5 first half against Virginia Tech, full game +8. A couple other games, Matt, I know that you and I were interested in. Maybe Iowa for you against Ohio State. Vanderbilt certainly could be a possibility, I think, for the two of us. Texas Tech. Anything else potentially hitting your card as we bid farewell here?
Well, I think it's possible that, like I said, Texas Tech. I don't know if you mentioned that. Maybe Arkansas possibly as well. So, and if I did play Iowa, I would have to split that up. Like I said, half unit first half, half unit for the game, because I don't trust the Hawkeyes over four quarters. I'm not sure I'm going to play that. But again, I'm glad we talk about these games because, you know, we give out 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever best bets on the VSiN website and on the podcast. But by Saturday, I typically have anywhere from 10 to 15 bets in my pocket. So these are all the bets I'm considering this week. And hopefully this Saturday turns out as well as last Saturday, Tim.
Let's hope so, Matt. Let's hope
so. We want winners.
We want winners. That's going to be our rallying cry. We'll make T-shirts, and we'll send them out. Thanks to all of you. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. You can always tweet us at MattEumanns247. I'm at 1TimMurray. Mikey P. chimes in, and he said, I'm a new listener, love the show, looking forward to it every week. Appreciate the insights and analysis. We appreciate you, Mikey P. We appreciate all of the listeners. We appreciate Wyatt. We appreciate Sean, producer Ryan, all of you. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We want winners.